Hey, y'all turn to the book of Ephesians. I am excited about what God's doing in our church with this series. It has been awesome. We've looked at what a church looks like to put their faith in Jesus and their love towards the saints. We've looked at different ways and how we're supposed to show love towards each other. We've talked about wisdom and knowledge and revelation. Last week, we talked about the hope of our calling. That's a guaranteed hope. If you missed that, I encourage you to get on CircleJCowboyChurch.org and get on the multimedia there and listen to that. And you can print it out and make a CD, stick it in your truck or your tractor or whatever you're doing. But I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and pick up where we left off last week, starting in verse 15 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards the saints," Paul said, "I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in your prayers." Remembering us, he says in verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him." In verse 18, where we're going to camp out today, what we talked about last week was having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. There's three things here the Bible's talking about. It says, God, wake them up, show them what your perspective is on these three things. He says, having the eyes of their hearts enlightened, that you may know, number one, the hope of which he has called you. We talked about that last week. And today, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings here on the reading of your word. You say that if we present your word, Lord, that it won't return void. And so, God, I proclaim your word here today, and I ask that you just get a hold of me and each one of us. We invite you to be a part of this, and as we've already worshiped you here today, Lord, I ask that we leave here changed. I pray, God, that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart. Help us to see. We're blind. Paul was praying this because they couldn't see a heavenly perspective through worldly eyes. God, all we can see is through our own eyes until we begin to put our trust and faith in you. Enlighten the eyes of our heart to the hope of our calling. And God, today, enlighten the eyes of our heart to the awesomeness of the hope of our inheritance in heaven. Now, God, we can't see that. We don't understand that. Your ways are not our ways. Higher are the heavens above the earth, or your ways higher than ours. If you don't enlighten the eyes of us stupid people here today, we're going to walk out of here stupid. I walked in here stupid, but Lord, I'm asking that we walk out of here changed. I'm asking you to enlighten the eyes of our heart to understand why in the world we're here on this earth. And what in the world, praise Jesus, we got to look forward to, that Beulah land that we just heard. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, look at that. In verse 18, it says, enlighten the eyes of your heart. And the last part of that verse says, the hope of which you called. And here we go, what we're going to focus on today. What are the riches of his, not ours, of his glorious inheritance in the saints? That's a powerful, powerful thing. Inheritance. Everybody lives for inheritance. If you've got parents, you understand what that is. But inheritance that the Bible talks about here is very, very clear. According to the Bible, the Christian spiritual inheritance is based solely on one single thing. What you get for all eternity is based on one thing, and that is on your relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." See, we get into that inheritance, one thing, through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that you're heirs of Jesus? How do you know you're going to get all that inheritance? That's a real good question. I'm going to hit four questions. Who will receive this inheritance of God? I'm also going to talk about who's not going to receive the inheritance. And what is this inheritance, and how big is this inheritance? Four things we're going to talk about. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans, just to your left, about a quarter of an or eighth of an inch. Not even that. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. How do you know, right where you're sitting, how do you know, what's the guarantee that you're going to receive an inheritance of heaven? The inheritance. How do you know you're heirs with Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if the children, if you're a child of God, if you're children, then heirs. And if you're heirs of God, then fellow, then you're heirs with Christ. Providing that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It's simple, guys. It says the Spirit himself bears witness in your spirit whether you're a child of God or not. Either you're sitting here and you know that you know you're a child of God, or you're sitting here and you don't know. Now, you may think, like me, that you walked through life, and for 29 years I thought I was going to heaven because I walked down a little old aisle and I got baptized. Listen, we're not trying to make baptisms, guys. We're trying to make disciples of Jesus. And there's a world of difference between the two. I was a 9-year-old baptism dude, kid, happy. Everybody pat me on the back. Woohoo, clap for me. I became a 29-year-old disciple of Jesus. Big difference. And so that's the ones that know that have the inheritance. The Spirit himself bears witness. Now listen, Satan wants sinners to believe they're saints and saints to believe they're sinners. See, he wants saints to believe that they're sinners and sinners to believe that they're saints. He wants people that are born again to believe they're lost, and he wants people that are lost, and this is the big one, he wants sinners, people that don't know Christ, that haven't accepted him, haven't surrendered to him. He wants them to think they're going to heaven. There's a real popular country song that you hear on the radio. It says, everybody wants to go to heaven. And it refers, nobody wants to go down. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but praise God, nobody wants to live for God. And the proof is in your lifestyle, not in what you say or what you do once a week, is where you at with Jesus. Does the Holy Spirit bear witness in you that you are heirs of Jesus? Not a membership in a church. Not a baptism. The Holy Spirit is what the Bible says. There's not a single thing in the Bible that says this card is a guarantee. It says that the Holy Spirit bears witness in you. So those are the ones that will receive, that will be heirs of Jesus. Second question, who will not receive their heavenly inheritance? Who will not receive their heavenly inheritance? It's those that do not surrender. It's those that do not answer the call. They will not receive the kingdom of God. Those that reject God in this life, those that reject him and prove it by their lifestyle, they don't accept him as their Savior, as their Lord, as the ranch manager of their life. They reject him. They will not receive inheritance. Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back over to your left about a 16th of an inch. And see, if y'all bring a tape measure to church, you could find all these books real easy in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we go. I got chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Guys, this is important that you understand that this scripture is not a one-time mess up. We're talking about here as a lifestyle. These are those that practice this way of life as it's their lifestyle. They just stay there. They're at that trough all the time. Look what it says in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor men who are practicing homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God says. They're those people that's the pattern of their life, like I once was. Praise God, he's changed me, but I once was for 29 years in that list, but praise God, I'm not today. Verse 11 said, and such were, I'm one of the were people, praise God, and such were some of you. but you were washed and sanctified. See, the Lord set me apart as His. Now I'm branded by Him. And you were justified. Justified, never sin. I was forgiven, like the song we just sang about. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. To those that the pattern of their life is this lifestyle, the Bible says, will not inherit. They have no heavenly inheritance of heaven. So what is this inheritance? You know, we talk about heaven, but we stop there. What is this inheritance that we're talking about in heaven? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and it says, and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade away in heaven. Guys, this goes forever. It doesn't get wore out. How big? Everybody wants to know when one of your relatives die. First of all, did they leave me anything? Maybe. Did they leave? How much did they leave me? How big? How big is your inheritance? Well, the Bible begins to say a little bit about that. You know, you've heard this scripture in John chapter 14, 1 and 2. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust God. Trust also in me. And in my Father's house, there's many rooms. And we've all heard that, hey, there's mansions, there's many rooms and stuff. If it weren't so, Jesus said, I would have told you. It's kind of like this little boy that was raised over here in the projects down here in Bowie County. And, you know, he's just poor and he's just barely living off of nothing. And he went down there to Dallas and he saw all his big, huge, giant sky-rise buildings and everything. And he never seen anything like that before. And he saw this lady and he said, hey, lady, which project is yours? And she said, project? Man, these are sky-rises right here. And listen, guys. The very best that you could dream up with human ways is just a project compared to what heaven lies for you. It's just a project. The best you can think of. Guys, we don't understand. We're having a hard time. All we can see is simple things like this building and what you've worked for in your life. It's just a project compared to what we have laying in store. Listen, heaven is a real place. The place of heaven is beyond magnificent. It is beyond what human can understand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says that no language, no human terms, no human boasting can ever get close to describing what heaven is really like. That's in 2 Corinthians 12, 4. No sermon that any preacher has ever preached has ever compared. All of them put together is nothing but cowpookie compared to what heaven is really like. And so human terms can't describe, but yet God gives us some little bitty nuggets about what heaven is really like. God gives us in His Word a little taste of what that is. And I want you to turn to the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, and I want to look at verse 3. How big is heaven? The Lord begins to spell this out. What is heaven really like? Revelation 22, verse 3. No longer will there be any accursed. Now, that's talking about, your translation may say curse. The curse is gone. It's talking about the curse of Genesis chapter 3. When sin entered the earth, there was a Garden of Eden. It was perfect. Animals lived among men. If you read that curse in Genesis chapter 3 and what God did because of sin, it changed everything. In heaven, guys, there is no curse. Do you understand, you ranchers and farmers? How many of y'all love weeds? I'm allergic, literally, to 10 of them. I hate goat weeds. The only thing goat weeds are for of is bush and hog and a little bit of them. These little gray things flying around called dove, and you shoot them and eat them. They eat good, but that's the only thing a goat weed is good for. I hate milkweed. Weeds just kill me. Listen, weeds were not introduced to the Garden of Eden until the curse came. Do you understand that there is no need for 2,4-D in heaven? No gray zone is needed. It is not even, there's no need. Listen, we're going back to the great, incredible blessings like we're in the world before sin was introduced in the world. There's no curse. Don't read over this little sentence and think it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. Look at it. It says, no longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. and his servants will worship him. There's no more curse. Praise God. You think about how the animals live with man. There was no need to break a horse. He was born broke. All you had to do is put reining plates on him. Would you slide about 45 foot for me, please, sir, with a slack rein? Matter of fact, I'm going to sit right here while you run out there and grab that yearling by the ear and throw him down and stand on him until I get there. Everything is perfect. There is no curse. Sin, Pete, she's having a fit over in that little curly hat of his. There is no curse. We don't know what it's like. Sin has stained your life. Sin has stained your family. Sin has stained this world. The curse is gone in heaven. Praise God. And that's the beginning of what he begins to say. You know, it wasn't too long ago, well, it was a couple years ago, I drove through southern Missouri, north of, what's the Bass Pro Shop up there? Yeah. North of that, man, there weren't any weeds. They're just rolling hills and these pretty old barns. Everything looked perfect. I go up in northern Oklahoma and I see that Osage country and them yearlings that gained 3.8 pounds a day on grass, blue stem grass in southern Kansas. Guys, everything's perfect. There's going to be like that every single solitary day. No weeds, perfect green pastures like the Garden of Eden. You know, everything on the earth gets old. Your wife gets old. Your husband starts looking like me, maybe even worse, because I got a few more years on me. Your trucks wear out. We're not going to start hollering Chevrolets and bragging on stuff and running down the road. They all wear out. How many of y'all like getting new stuff? You know the feeling when you get... About half of y'all lying out your face. I said, oh, no, I don't like... I'm in church. Like... That feeling of new, but then immediately it starts to wear out. Man, the Bible says everything's going to be made new. It's going to be new every single solitary day. Praise Jesus. You're going to be made new. You're going to have a glorified body. There is no titanium allowed in heaven. From broken bones and stuff holding you together. There is no medication. There's no drugstores in heaven. We're made new. Everything's made new. The grass doesn't get brown like that stuff is we see. It doesn't crunch underneath your toes. It's new every single day. You don't even have to fertilize it. It's made new. Look at what the Bible says in Revelations chapter 21, verse 5. Revelations 21, verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. That's what he does over and over and over and over and over and over. Every day is made brand new. Everything is new. Praise God. What's it really like? What will it be like? What's heaven look like? Look in chapter 21, verses 1 through 2. He begins to give us more details. Revelations 21. Says you're going to enjoy eternal beauty. Now, I think of some things, guys, in this world that are beautiful. The Grand Canyon and some of those blue stem prairies where you can see for 20 miles and New Orleans grazing out. Whatever it is that God's made is beautiful places. But look what he says here. Now, understand. Y'all look at me for a second before I read this. Jesus is coming back. The Bible does say that he's going to be riding a horse, a war horse. It ain't going to be some gentle horse. And when he comes back, if you ain't right, you're going to get left. You hear me? So today I'm in here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you either get right or get left. Jesus is coming back, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late. And when he comes back, he's going to completely redo the whole world. He made it in 7 days. He can redo it if he wants to. And you may think that there's places that can't get any prettier. I guarantee you, if he's going to make a new earth, he's going to make it even better. And there's some details that he begins to give us in a heaven. He's going to set up and make a new earth and a new heaven. Look at verse 1. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and for the first earth is passing away." He's talking about the way we know it right now. And look, and it says, "And the sea was no more." And verse 2 says, and I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's where we're going to be at, those that believe in him right now, and those that come to know Jesus Christ, that new Jerusalem, the very center, the most powerful part, the cool place, the best place to be in heaven, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And he says, prepared as a bride. He's trying to give us a glimpse now of how awesome this is going to be in human terms. Prepared as a bride adorned with her hair for her husband. Every single solitary wedding I've ever been a part of, that bride, we work for that one moment. The whole thing set up, all the music and everything, and honoring that bride. We even stand in their honor. I've never been to a wedding that you didn't hear a, oh. I hope I never go to a wedding that I don't hear a, oh. That'd be rough. But that beautiful woman, that bride shows up, and God's trying to say, as a bride prepare for a husband, it's just a, oh. Man, how awesome this really is. And so, we are going to enjoy eternal beauty like a bride coming down on a wedding day, standing there as we honor her. Listen, James says that our life, things are going by quick. Now, we're talking about him making we're talking about Jesus coming back and you getting right or getting left. The Bible says in Psalms that 1,000 years are as a day and a day is 1,000 years. Y'all don't know how many years ago it was that Jesus died on the cross, a little over 2,000 ago. What were y'all doing last Friday? According to eternity, Jesus died last Friday. To us, the way we're thinking, we're talking about 2 days ago. Guys, this thing's flipping by really awful quick. James says that our lives are as a vapor. How many of y'all ever have steamed a hat? What happens when you take your foot off the pedal at Cavender's or you turn the fire off the stove? Y'all make those tinfoil stacks, you know, that come up out of you? There ain't no real cowboys here. Y'all go to Cavender's and push. That's what y'all do. Okay. All right, and you take your foot off and it's gone. Do y'all let them shape your hats? I can tell by he shaped that one right there, I guarantee you. That's why mine looks so goofy, because I shape all my own. So James says life's like a vapor. Paul says it's a momentary affliction. Guys, this thing is rolling by. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 16. What is heaven like? How big is your inheritance? What are we looking at right here? He begins to give us measurements. Measurements. Revelation chapter 21, verse 16 talks about how big it is. It says the city lies 4 square. It says its length is the same as its width. And he measures the city with his rod of 12,000 stand high. That's, guys, I'm not smart enough to calculate this, but they say, theologians say that's 1,500 miles. That's the length from New Mexico, the bottom of Texas, to Canada. That's a long fur piece. And heaven is that big square. But keep reading. It says, so it's 1,500 miles in its length and its width. And look, and its height is 1,500 miles high. Bunch of layers in this dude. We're talking about space. I don't like going to town. Y'all like going to town? Before I got to reading this, I got to thinking, boy, they're going to cram me up in heaven around all them rooms. And I don't like rooms. I like space. This is called space, 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high. And guess what? There ain't a lot of people going to be there. The Bible says that wide is the gate that leads to destruction and narrow the path that leads to eternal life. Do you understand that there's 5.5 to 6 million people that they think are on the earth? And the majority of them are going to be fed down a squeeze chute to hell. And only a few, it says, narrows the path, are going to get to go to this great big old wide space, 1,500 mile cubic thing called heaven. Look at what's around heaven in verse 17. It says there's a great, huge, beautiful wall that's around heaven. It says he also measured its walls as 144 cubits. That's 216 feet tall. That's over two-thirds the length of a football field. This wall is tall around heaven. So it's 216 feet tall by human measurements, which is also angels' measurements. And it goes on to say and describe how beautiful this wall is in verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. And it goes on, jasper and onyx and all these other things that I can't even pronounce, but all these cool, beautiful, incredible jewels that God has put together. Every jewel that he has created, this wall around heaven is made up of. And look at verse 21. The gates, all ranchers like entryways. Son, you ain't never seen no entryway like this ranch. This, look at it in verse 21. It says, and the 12 gates were pearls. Pearls. The 12 gates were pearls. Each of the gates was a single pearl. We're not talking about thousands of little genes and little pearls to make. Each gate was one pearl. And it says, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. This is one cool place that God has created for us to enjoy. It will be full of jewels. It says transparent jewels. You can see through these things. In verse 11 of chapter 21, look at that. Verse 11 says, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear and crystal. There's not going to be a sun that you look at. The radiance in this city is going to be God himself. Look at verse 18, talking about jasper and gold throughout this dude. In verse 18, it says, and the wall was built out of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. Now, the gold that we know of is not clear as glass. You can't see through it. We dig it up out of the ground. It's apparently God has created some kind of new material in heaven. It's gold, but you can see through it. It's transparent, and it's everywhere. And it says that the street of gold, listen, asphalt. Gold, transparent gold is asphalt. And if it's transparent, meaning you can see through it, maybe down to even layers below you. You can see up 1,500 miles. You can see down 1,500 miles. It's transparent. You can see through it. This is a cool place. Look at verse 21. The second part of that talks about streets of asphalt. The latter part of that verse, it says it's transparent. It says it again. Made of city was pure gold. The street. There's one street that goes all through the whole thing. The street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. You can see through it. Look in verse 23. Gives us more instruction about what heaven is like. In the city, there was no need of sun or moon. That means there is no night to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb, Jesus Christ. It reflects, the glory of God reflects off of all the walls, all the transparent sheets of gold, streets of gold, and all the jewels in the wall. Saturated, surrounded, walking on, walking in, walking around the most beautiful thing God can create. We're going to be there. We're going to be there in heaven. There's no night. The reflection of God's glory is everywhere, in every layer, 1,500 miles square. The Bible also says, we've already read it, no longer is there any sea. Look in chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. A third of the world is water. There's not going to be any more sea. There's going to be water because it's saying the rivers flowing out of the throne. There's going to be water. There's going to be beautiful water, but there's not going to be sea. Every bit of the space is usable, guys. Every bit of it. So there's not going to be any more sea. And he's given us this picture. He's laying it all out for us that it's all usable space. All usable space. Look in verse 3 of chapter 21. This is big time cool. Not only are we going to be surrounded with beauty, this Garden of Eden type environment that is perfect. Praise God, no more goat weed. Are we going to be there? But there's going to be perfect worship. Now this band cranked it up. Now Pete, maybe they'll let you in that angel band up there with your hat on. I'm not sure. We think we heard some good praise and worship this morning. Our best day here cannot compare to what we're going to realize of perfect worship in heaven. I imagine they'll be helping out a little bit up there, I guarantee you. But look at this. 21 verse 3. Now, if I get to reading this stuff and y'all see me run off and do a little jig, don't worry about it. Just follow in behind me. We're going somewhere, okay? I get fired up because, see, I pray to my Lord and Savior seemingly from a distance right now. Only one person ever saw a piece of him. Moses saw the back of him pass by. And because his glory was so powerful and so strong, it turned his hair white and blinded him for a period of time. Look at this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them in heaven as their God." Everywhere we go, every room we go into, everything we do, worship is going to be a lifestyle. You say, "Well, I go to church once a week, and there is not going to be a church. The whole thing's going to be like a church." He says, "What? I don't want to go to church every single solitary day. I get enough of brother. There's no preaching, guys, in heaven. The Lord is going to be, the Word of God is going to be dwelling among us, and we're going to be Him as a worshiping, as a lifestyle. Not just coming to worship once a week. It's going to be every single day. Every time we saddle up that perfect horse and sit stride over in that stirrup and he sits perfectly dead still, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give God the glory. Every time that you see me walking up in heaven and we meet each other, we're going to be standing there and we're going to turn around and we're going to give God the glory. When you meet up with your relatives, they're going to say, "Hey, let's go give God some glory." Everywhere you go, the light of God is going to be radiant. Everything you do, worship is going to be a lifestyle. And guess what? The Bible says we're going to be a glorified body. You follow what Jesus did after he rose from the dead in his glorified state, what he did. He showed us what a glorified body is going to be like, and it's in Scripture. He walked through walls. You're going to have a glorified body. You're going to be able to walk through walls. You're going to be able to appear places and go places like an angel and just say, "Hey, how long would it take you to get to Canada right now?" "I don't know. I ain't never been that far away from Texarkana. I ain't never been half that far." Maybe some of y'all have. But hey, your relatives will grab you by the hand. "Let me go show you something God did over here." And you're going to flop 1,500 miles right over there. And he said, "Hey, let me go show you what we did over here. My dad is going to take me by the hand. We're going to go 1,500 miles up by the throne. And check this out. And every time we stop in one of them places, we're going to give God the glory. And we're going to be with God. We're not going to come to church anymore and pray to God. We're going to be with God. Every place we go, every time we turn around, we're going to give him glory." Perfect worship is going to be a part of our lifestyle. Pure excitement. Never, never a dull moment. I'm through. Let's pray. This is going to be continued. To be continued. There's so much about heaven, I can't even begin to share it with you right now. it just gets more gooder. From Revelation chapter 21, I want to read this to you with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Revelation 21, verse 27. Something it says about heaven. But nothing unclean will never enter in, nor anyone who does not, here's what it says, anyone who does what is distasteful or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's my question to you before we leave today. Is your name right now written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness that you are receiving this inheritance? If not, my advice to you, if you know there needs to be a change in your life, as you not dare walk away from Him right now because He may be coming back tomorrow. And heaven is realized, the Bible says that if you were to die today, that you're going to go through a judgment, and without Jesus, you're going to hell. So my question is your name written in the Lamb Books of Life? If it's not, I would encourage you to pray a prayer of salvation with me, to surrender to Him, to answer His call before we leave. It's not a prayer, it's what you do. It's not words you say, it's what you do as a lifestyle and surrender to Him. And say, God, if you want to get that right, I encourage you right now to say, God, I'm asking you to write down my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to do whatever it takes in my life to put my name in that book. And so I'm asking you, God, to forgive me. I have done you wrong. I have sinned against you. In Jesus' name, please forgive me of my choices and the wrong I've done in my life. And I'm praying to receive Jesus. And you tell Him that. Right now, I pray to receive Jesus in my life as my Lord, as my Savior, as my boss. Lord, prepare a place for me in heaven. Enlighten my eyes to the great inheritance I have for me. And sir and ma'am, you're here and you've come to know the Lord, and you're not living like you're living for heaven. You've surrendered your life to Him, but you're not living that way. You need to get connected to Him. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer right here. It says to ask God to enlighten the eyes of your heart to what He said in Ephesians. To enlighten the eyes of your heart to the glorious inheritance that He has for you. And that you live that way, that you serve that way, that you work that way, that you make decisions in your life that way. Just between you and Him, saying, God, please, in Jesus' name, enlighten the eyes of my heart that I will know and live for understanding what the glorious inheritance that you have towards me is. Forgive me for not living that way. And as I walk out of here today, help me to see the changes I need to make to be an heir and live that way. In Jesus' name, amen.